That would be good, yes. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to start with the title. The Kingdom of Heaven is Upside Down. And I may not read all the scriptures in entirety because that'll just be way too long. But I'm going to start with a joke because that's the best way to start. So listen this up. There was once a rich man who was very near death, and he was very, very grieved because he had worked so hard for all his money, and he wanted to be able to take it with him to heaven. So he began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth. And an angel hears his plea and says, and comes to him and says, sorry, yeah, I can't take it with you. This man says, please, please, I have so much wealth. Just speak to God on my behalf. Maybe, maybe I can take some of it with me. Bend the rules a little bit. So the man continues to pray that his wealth could follow him. And the angel appears and informs the man that God said, okay, we'll bend the rules, but only one carry-on. Only one suitcase. And so overjoyed, the man gathers his most prized possessions and fills the suitcase. Well, he put gold bars in the suitcase. He put gold in the suitcase. He places it by his bed, and soon afterwards, he dies. He shows up at the gates of heaven with his carry-on, and St. Peter says, no, you can't bring suitcases here. And the man says, oh, but God bent the rules for me. You need to go check. So St. Peter goes away, and he comes back, and he checks. And sure enough, he had permission for one carry-on. But St. Peter said, God said, I have to look in your suitcase. I have to make sure it's appropriate for heaven. And so Peter opens it up. Peter opens it up and says, you brought pavement? It's okay. The kingdom of heaven is upside down. Gold here is valuable, but in heaven, it's just asphalt. Okay. So, okay. We consider the top to be the highest, but in heaven, it's the bottom. That's the place we need to achieve. A great place of honor here on this planet is the last place in heaven. You get the picture. Okay. Matthew 9:13-15. Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them, and then they departed from there. So as I was reading this passage and getting ready, and I'm thinking what I'm going to write about it. But something else strikes me as I'm reading this. I'm going to kind of go off topic for a sec, but how many times have you been restricted by what somebody said? Not able to enter the presence of God because somebody said, you can't, you shouldn't, that's inappropriate, that's, you know, so I've just overwhelmed myself. I do it to myself. I say, you know, how many times I need to be a better Christian. I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to tithe more consistently. I need to do all this before I can come to God, when it's not written anywhere that that is necessary. So why do I impose it upon myself? Also, historically speaking, some of the historic leaders have imposed the same thing on the children of God. You got to go to the priest and confess. No, we can go to God. We go straight to God. We don't have to mess around and go to a priest and do penance. So that just kind of struck me. So I need to be like a little child. I need to not beat myself up. I need to just dance and sing and love God and dance and sing. And not let things restrict me, not let what some previous leader told me, not let what the Catholic Church imposed upon people, other religions. I'm going to God. And I can because Jesus covers me. And it's my right. It's my right. I think I got ahead of myself. But anyway, according to this passage, Jesus said, come. So I should be able to come. Even if I fall down, I can still come. Sometimes crawling with bleeding knees, but I can still come, yes. It's easier than you think. And I'm preaching to the choir here. I can see that. And similar story in Matthew 18, where Jesus says, unless you be converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child in my name receives me. So, little children, as you dance and sing and play in the kingdom of God, and people receive you, they receive God. That's a good thing. Okay, us grown-ups need to become more like little children. Now, okay, you know that. I'm still working on that, because sometimes I'm like, how do I humble myself? How does a little kid humble themselves? I mean, do they ever? Aren't they kind of arrogant? me, my.
Do they stop humbling themselves when they learn what humble means?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's like, oh, well, I don't know. I want that cookie. I want this. Me for, I don't know.
I had to relearn to humble myself.
So I'm still working on all those details, and you know, I spend more time in his presence and let the Holy Spirit teach me, then that'll be, I'll let you know if I ever get there. I'll give you a list. I'll give you the formula, okay? But I need to drop those preconceived ideas. I'm not good enough. I need to do better, more. Mm-mm. Okay. God can do anything. What?
I was just thinking, was you're asking, what does it mean for to be humble like a child?
Uh-huh.
Well, they were running to him. I just got this. They were running to him and expecting to be received.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, a running to to Jesus and expecting to be received.
None of them expected to be turned away.
Oh, yeah,
they
didn't. I didn't think I was going to be turned away, and why do I? And that's my big problem, is go to God and expect that nothing's going to happen. Ask God and expect nothing's going to happen. You, now that you got me on that thread, it's like, wow, okay. This past week, I've been having knee pain because this muscle gets all tight, and Deborah goes, you need to put it on, you need to roll it on the roller. I hate that because it hurts so bad. But so I've been saying, I rebuke you. I command you to stop cramping up. I just command health to come on. I command strength to come on my body. I got it. Just bless me. Because I can't. Not because I'm being haughty or proud, but because he says, ask and you receive. If you don't ask, you don't receive. And so I remember waking up the next day in the middle of the night thinking, oh, everything felt so good. My back wasn't hurting. My hips weren't hurting. My knees weren't hurting. And I'm like, yes. So the next day I did not command my body to line up and stuff was hurting. And so this morning I'm like, come on, body, line up. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll start beating you with a stick or something if you don't line up. So I need to come to my Father expecting I'm going to be received and expecting I'm going to get good gifts. That's a whole nother scripture. I didn't even think about getting it, you know. If us being evil will give our children what we need, what would God give us? Oh, the kingdom of heaven is upside down. Matthew 18, 21 to 23, 25, no. 21 through 35. I won't read the whole thing, but Peter says, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. And I don't think he meant only 490 times. I think he meant all of them forever. And the rest of this scripture is the parable that Jesus teaches about the wicked servant. And I won't read all of that, although I'd have it right here in red. But basically, it says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The evil guy got thrown into the torturer. He didn't just get thrown in jail, he got thrown into the torturer's jail. So this means I got to forgive to be forgiven. Or does it mean so I can gripe and complain about how others have wronged me or treated me unfairly? No. Well, they didn't pay me back what they promised. This person did that, and that person did this. And if I forgive them, they'll think they're okay. No. No. To receive forgiveness, you must forgive. Forgiveness is not saying what was done is okay. Forgiveness is releasing the chains of bondage that unforgiveness holds over me. They may not even care. Or they may. Or you may free them because you've now pointed something out. So, but I need to do what I need to do. And the kingdom of heaven is upside down. So I want to be upside down. That's the title. I got to keep saying it. Matthew 19, 16 through 30, I think. But I won't read the whole thing. This is the rich young ruler. You all know the story of the rich young ruler. And Jesus at the end of this passage says, the first shall be last. And what? The first shall be last. That's why you guys sit in the back row, huh? The last shall be first. So as I was reading that scripture, that passage, I realized that the rich young ruler said, you know, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, keep all the commandments. And he says, well, I do that already. And then Jesus said, well, if you want to be perfect, the first point is the commandments, keeping them all does not make you perfect, just so you know. Because that's what it says. And then he says, well, what do I need to do to be perfect? And Jesus says, he doesn't say this is how you become perfect. He says, if you sell everything and give it to the poor, then you'll have treasure in heaven. He didn't say that'll get you to heaven. He didn't say that'll make you perfect. It's okay. Jesus tells the disciples that a rich man can't buy his way into heaven. So there goes that tithing option. You can't tithe more to be a better Christian, as that doesn't give you heaven. Money doesn't make it any easier. Money doesn't buy happiness. But money can buy cows, and cows make milk, and milk makes ice cream, and ice cream makes me happy. Yeah. Now. But it doesn't get you into heaven. Okay. So doing the right thing, keeping all the commandments, doesn't make you perfect, doesn't get you anywhere. Okay. If I sell everything and give all my money to the poor, I'll have treasure in heaven, but I won't be there. It's just the logic that came into my brain there. Okay. I can never attain heaven without Jesus. It's impossible with me. Nothing I can do to get me there. With me, it's impossible. With God, it's always possible. Okay. Yeah. It's good stuff. Kingdom of heaven is upside down. How can you get to heaven? Well, I can't get to heaven. Not unless I'm covered in Jesus. Then Peter asked Jesus at the second half of that passage, what shall we have? We've left everything. That's verse 27, Matthew. Let me go back. Matthew 19, 27, Peter says, what shall we have if we follow you? We've left everything. And Jesus said, I tell you that that in the regeneration, the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of his glory. You who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. And everyone that has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or land, that would be us, for his sake, his name's sake, for Jesus, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. That's how you get it. Many or first will be last, and the last will be first. Okay. Only God can do that amazing thing. I was thinking about that when in the regeneration. Is that like when everybody gets to heaven, or we're talking Jesus gets to heaven? Well, he's there. Yeah. He's already seated at the right hand of God. And the disciples pretty much are there now too, and they're seated And so are we, actually. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:6 says, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yeah. We've heard it many times here, Deborah's preached. The kingdom of heaven doesn't start when you get there. It starts as soon as you ask Jesus into your heart. So like now, it's our job to tell the devil he's a liar. Amen. So the kingdom of heaven is upside down. To get back at your enemies, love them. Pray for them. Matthew 5:43-44. You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Those poor tax collectors, they get such a bad rap. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How do I do that? I love people. I love my enemy. You know, I was thinking about somebody the other day. And this past week, a couple of people have come to mind. I'm like, and Lord says, pray for them. I don't even like them. What do I have to pray for them? That's probably why. I'm like, so I started praying for them, and it wasn't always sweet. And you want to pray wrath sometimes, but that's praying against the will of God, so don't do that. And I don't think it affected them, but I felt less vicious towards them. And sometimes just, you know, you gotta dance and sing and pray. Run to your Father and pray for your enemies and love them. I mean, pray for people you don't like. Pray for people. Just pray for people. Pray for everybody. God loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. There's no apparent reason, but he loves us. And my best attempt at being perfect is try to love people like God loves people, because he loves them. I love them. They look like him. They have his image. I gotta love them. And it isn't always easy, but that's what you gotta do in the kingdom of God. Love those people. Matthew 16:24-27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. To find my life, I must lose it for Jesus' sake. If I try to save my life myself, I can't do it. I'll lose it. My Heavenly Father will reward me according to my works. So if my works are doing what he tells me to do, how can you lose? If my reward is doing those things that, you know, I know are my destiny, whether it's kids, you know, that's awesome. Not everybody's good with kids. That would be me. But, you know, if God calls you to do it and you're good at it, just do it. And sometimes you can try other things and you can fill a hole for a while. But when God says, I want you to do this, you need to aim in that direction. Amen. You may not always hit it. Hit the bullseye, but you're at least shooting in that direction. And getting a good strong arm for one of these days, you're going to hit the bullseye. So, taking up my cross and losing my life. So I guess that means I get to take up my cross every day and lay down my life. And I was really pondering that as I was reading that passage, is how, exact meaning of that for me personally. I'm thinking taking up my cross is those things that have hindered me, the things that weigh me down. I can't carry them like a burden, but I can carry them like a trophy. Yeah. You know, yeah. I've overcome, and I want to take that up every day as a prideful thing, not a bad prideful thing, but look what God has done. Yeah. And I'm going to carry that around with me as a sign. look what God did. Yes, look what he can do for you, and then lay down my life, and God will sort it all out, I think. The kingdom of God is upside down. Yeah, you don't carry wounds around like a burden. You carry them around like a trophy, because I've overcome with God. Matthew 20, 24 through 28. This passage was is right after Mrs. Zebedee came and asked Jesus that her sons be allowed to sit at his right and his left hand. And his answer was, no. Can't do that. Only God's in charge of that. But then the other guys heard, ten guys heard that the Zebedee boys were, their mommy was coming. Their mommy was coming and putting in a good word. And they were displeased with the two brothers. But then Jesus called them all to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Don't do this, Jesus said. Whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So to be a leader, you need to be a servant. I remember there was a couple that came to Peaceful Valley Church at one point. They were gung-ho about helping at the church. They wanted to be the right hand for the pastor and the left hand for the wife. They came, they sang, they gave a word, they made a pot of coffee, but for some reason, they never wanted to clean up, take out the garbage, or wash the toilets, or attend a new members class. So when they were asked about these things, they left. They were only there about 3 months, because they voiced their opinion that cleaning the toilets and doing the new members class was showing that the pastor thought they were untrustworthy. And I'm thinking, I agree with you, you're untrustworthy. If you can't clean the toilets in the church, you can't be a leader. You can't lay your hands on me until you wash a toilet. But and then your hands before you put them on me. So, you would if somebody asked you to. So anyway, if you want to be a leader, be a servant. Yeah. The kingdom of heaven is upside down. And I desire, and I hope you all know I'm the servant. I'm not the leader. I would clean the toilet, but we just have an outhouse. So there you go. But somebody did come clean that the other day. So like, yay. Matthew 23. Jesus starts this chapter by telling the multitudes that the scribes and the Pharisees, they like attention. And they like being in charge and telling everyone what to do, but not doing it themselves. And then Jesus says, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Talk about being upside down again. There you go. It's totally opposite of what the world says to do, you know. You want to study, work, achieve, get yourselves a promotion and position for success. But the kingdom of heaven says, humble yourself, humble yourself. So I desire to be humbled before God. I don't think groveling like I'm worthless is humility, though. Oh, poor me, I'm so worthless. I'm so unvaluable in the kingdom of heaven. No, I don't think so. I must recognize that God's chosen me, God's chosen you for his kingdom. And then I need to be obedient. I'm still in process, so there you go. Kingdom of Heaven is upside down. To become rich, give it away. Luke chapter 6 is a lot like Matthew 5 and 6. You have the Jesus teaching, and it's just a different viewpoint from, you know, Luke saw it. Well, Luke didn't see it. Luke heard it secondhand, right? And so he's just telling the stories as he heard them. That's why sometimes you have overlapping teaching. So here in Luke 6, Jesus is teaching about loving your enemies and lending and all these things. And then in verse 38, he says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's a heck of a scripture, isn't it? What you give away is what you're going to get. Yes. To become rich, give it away. Jesus told the rich young ruler the same thing. Sell everything and give it away. Bruce and I were able to give away a car once upon a time. And then we were able to give away a second car. And somebody I worked with says, well, where's your green car? And I said, we gave it away. And he goes, you gave it away? What? Nobody gives away a car. I'm like, well, you know, God blessed us. We were able to give away this car and then that car. And you can't outgive God, can you? And so that coworker that was astounded that we gave away a car, I'm hoping that was a good testimony. It would be something they remember. And then a few years later, we got blessed with a car. So, yeah, you can't outgive God.
Yeah.
He likes to just bless you. Bless you. God, he's so good. The kingdom of heaven is upside down. Be humble to get exalted. Well, we've heard this already. Luke 14, 7 through 11, Jesus tells this parable to the people because they were wanting the choicest places in the, I guess, the assemblies and the parties and the feasts and the weddings. He says, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by the host. He who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, or get up, get out of the chair. I want this guy to sit in the front row. And then you are now covered in shame and you have to go sit in the back of the room. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that when he who invites you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Come sit in the front row. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. So be humble to get exalted. As you're being humble, God will promote you when it's necessary, when it's to be. So if not, you sit in the back row and just enjoy the party. Yay! There are times when we're supposed to be humble, like in the presence of God. We humble ourselves. We listen to his voice. We do what he tells us to do. We change what he tells us to change. That way we can be transformed. So we're humble. But there are times when we need to have the mindset that we are more than the servant, because I'm a child of God. I personally had to really work on this in many areas. I used to view myself as worthless without anything to give, no value in the kingdom of heaven. But I don't think that's being humble. I'm changing my view of that. I think that's disagreeing with God. And I'm learning how to be bold now and ask for blessing, how to view myself as princess. That's even kind of what my name means. So yay, okay, let's do that. I'm becoming bolder now. I'm even praying. I've told you about, you know, blessing. Bless me, God. And so I think agreeing with God is both bold and humble at the same time. So I can be upside down in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, as you're upside down, you're right side up. Like, I was trying to write something upside down just to see It's really hard to write something upside down and backwards. Yeah. Okay. I could have just went like this and wrote it, but that was too easy. Luke 18, 9 through 14 talks more about being humble. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one Pharisee and one a tax collector. Here we got the tax collectors again. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even the tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all my possession. The tax collector, standing in the back, would not so much as even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified more than this than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If I exalt myself like the Pharisee, I ain't going to be. If I humble myself like the tax collector, then I will be justified. Lord, bless me like the tax collector. So, okay. As I've read you these scriptures, talked about these things, we've got a good view of the upside-down kingdom. So I need to come like a little child, to come to God, expecting, and dance and sing and play and pray, and dance and sing and dance and sing. Okay, I need to forgive to be forgiven, no whining. I need to give it away to get.
Joyfully.
If I'm last, I'll be first. What's impossible with man is possible with God.
Yes.
Love your enemies and pray for them.
Yes.
I must die to live. I must take up my cross and lay down my life.
Yes.
I must be a servant to be great.
Yes.
I must be humble to be exalted. Okay. As we do all of this, it's because we love God. It's not because we're following the commands, because all that does is make us good at following commandments. We're not following the rules, because then we're just following rules. So I do this all out of love. I'm working on it. I'm not there yet. I do it all out of love for Father God. I want to be who He wants me to be. And it's a shame it's taken 58 years to get here, but better late than never.
Right.
So today we're going to take